Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Vaisberg.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to School of Human Potential. Tonight, I have a distinct pleasure of speaking to somebody who I truly admire, and that's one of the perks of being on the radio and getting a chance to speak to so many different, interesting people from around the world. But tonight's guest is very special to me. Tonight we have David Friedman. The reason why David is so special, and I'm laughing as I'm saying this, not just because David is famous and you've heard his songs or you've seen him on shows or you've seen him on stage, because David has multi-platinum recordings, Broadway shows, Disney animated films. He's a conductor. He's a producer. He's a lyricist, and all sorts of wonderful things. But David, in essence, has been living a dream of mine, and that is to be a lyricist, that is to be on Broadway, that is to be in movies, that is to be in Disney. So I'm having this realization that I'm speaking to a person who took what I love and has been able to make a career out of it. But in addition to that, he's also the founder of the Thought Exchange. And a Thought Exchange is the ability, and we'll talk to David about that over the next hour, is our ability and the methods and the tools that you can use in order to understand the world. It's, in essence, the secret behind the secret. So that is why I'm so excited, not just from the spiritual side, but from the music side, and the lyricist in me is just jumping out of my seat. So without further ado, I wanted to welcome David Friedman to the program. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Can you sense the excitement in my voice, and now you understand why I'm so excited?
Yes, I can sense the excitement. That's very nice, and I will think of my own life as that exciting. That's a good idea.
Well, certainly. It seems to be from here anyway. So you have led a very exciting life, and you've met some very, very interesting people along the way. Before we get to the Thought Exchange, do you want to give a little bit of your background in addition to what I just mentioned to everybody?
Well, you know, I went to college to be I went to New England Conservatory to be a concert pianist. I was in classical music, and I realized somewhere along the way, I actually got a teacher certificate from a school called the Dalcro School, and I was 17. And the teacher, the person who ran the school, as she gave me the certificate, she said, "You're the youngest person ever to get this certificate. You are one of the most brilliant musicians to ever walk through these doors, and you potentially have a great career ahead of you in music. However, recently I've noticed a trashy nightclub idiom infiltrating your improvisation. And if you are not extremely careful, you could end up in the pit of a Broadway show." Now, I was delighted to hear that, I noticed, and so I actually took a turn, and I went back to New York, which was my hometown, and I began to coach singers and do small theater things, and one thing led to another, and I ended up conducting on Broadway, and then my second show was a small show called God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater for Alan Menken, and we became friends, and when Alan Menken began to do the Disney films, he asked me if I would conduct and vocal arrange Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I did all those movies, but songwriting was always my secret passion, but I was too afraid to let anybody see it. Songwriting was really sort of the thing I was afraid of. And so I did Alan's musicals and his movies, and then I produced an artist named Nancy Lamott, who I began to write for. And then at a certain point, I just took the leap with Alan's blessing. He said, "I'm shooting myself in the foot, but if I were you, you're supposed to be doing what I'm doing. I would phase me out of your life." And so I began writing, and I wrote songs for Disney. I wrote songs for Diana Ross and Barry Manilow and for Nancy Lamott for years. She was a brilliant cabaret artist who actually died almost 20 years ago, and I still produce all her records. And I just began really concentrating on writing. And I noticed that my writing was always about healing and spiritual matters, even though it was theatrical, even though I was doing shows. I conducted 5 shows on Broadway. I did 10 movies. And gradually, I was led through a strange set of circumstances. I ended up playing a song of mine called We Can Be Kind at Unity of New York for Norm Lewis, who most recently starred in Porgy and Bess on Broadway. He's about to go in as the Phantom. And I was, when I walked in, they gave me a standing ovation. I didn't even realize it, but my music was being used for those things, for those places, for those purposes. And gradually, as I became more involved in spiritual practice, one day I was asked to take over an artist support group. And I went in to see what they were doing. And they were doing affirmations, and they were saying things like, I am a multi-million platinum-selling artist with millions of fans and millions of dollars in the bank. And I think, no, you're not. Why are you saying that? And I began to realize that what people were doing when they were affirming was sort of thinking that if they said something in exactly the right manner, the right number of times, that whoever it is who's out there who gives out such things would give it to them. Mm. And I just thought that can't be right. And so I began working with this group, and it developed into a study of sort of knowing that, you know, New Thought Principle, everybody knows, everybody's read The Secret, and even before that, everybody knows that if you take on a positive thought, positive things occur. You have to think positive in order to have a positive life. But what I noticed was people were unable to do it. You know, smart people, committed people, people who really are trying very hard and who have great spiritual foundation would take on positive thoughts. And in 5 minutes, they'd be back to the other thoughts and to their old ways of being. And I began to ask why. And through these groups, I realized that there's a whole area of our experience that we absolutely ignore. And that is the area of what I call sensations, physical experiences. I'm not talking about feelings. Feelings are our interpretation of sensations. Feelings are, you know, you say I'm angry. I say, how do you know? You say, I have this hot feeling in my chest. Why does that hot feeling in your chest mean you're angry? You're interpreting it. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered was that when we have a thought, it always produces sensations in our body. But the interesting thing is that those sensations might not be what we think they're going to be. So we might take on a very positive thought and feel very uncomfortable because somewhere earlier in life, like we said, I can do this, and someone slapped us across the face and said, no, you can't. So anytime we think I can do this, we feel an uncomfortable sensation, and what I call our inner child tries to get away from it. And so what happens is uncomfortable sensations occur when we take on the thoughts of what we want to do. And you know, one of the biggest misleading things in New Thought is you will know you're on the right track when you're comfortable. Baloney. You will potentially, not always, but I go on stages all over the world. I never feel comfortable walking on the stage. My heart is pounding 90 miles an hour. My hands are shaking. But I understand that that is the sensation with which going on stage comes with. And I also understand that there's a child in me who's feeling that, who was never seen and felt. So what I work with people on is take on your positive thoughts, but the difference in this work is notice what's going on in your body, and perhaps for the first time in your life, be with it instead of running from it. You know, if you had a little child in front of you who said, I'm frightened, you wouldn't say, cancel, I'm releasing you, go in the closet, you're ruining my career. You pick it up and feel what it feels, and it wouldn't stop you from doing anything. So I my book is called The Thought Exchange, Overcoming Our Resistance to Living a Sensational Life, to experiencing your sensations and understanding that uncomfortable but not dangerous sensations come with what we want to do. Make sense?
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense to me, and I've certainly experienced many of those uncomfortable sensations right before the greatest, most amazing experiences in my life that pointed me on the right track that I should be. So, yes, yeah. I know exactly how you how you're addressing it. And speaking of theater and speaking of getting on stage, I remember that I wanted to overcome my fear of singing in front of people because I prefer to sing by myself, or at least with the people who are going to get annoyed with me singing just for fun. I decided to audition for Second City's improvisational music program, which basically you have to do what I love doing, which is make up songs on the spot while improvising about something. So I go there, and I don't have a great voice. Let me rephrase. I don't have a very good voice. There are many within my range that would be more of...
I will stop you right there and tell you that is a thought. And your voice is a mirror of your thought. I do a class on that called Your Inner Voice, and I say, exchange your thought and feel uncomfortable, and people's voices do amazing things. But I'm interrupting you. Go ahead. So you went to the audition.
So I went to the audition, and I take your advice. So I'll continue working on that. I go to the audition, and I ask the person, "So what is the audition going to be about?" The person that's sitting, right there, taking names for people who are going to audition, and she said, "Well, it consists of three things. First thing is the introduction. Then we're going to have you play a game. We'll give you a name of a celebrity, and you have to make up a song on the spot about that celebrity. Third thing is." There's going to be improvisation component where you basically have to improvise a scene and sing when they say stop and sing whatever you were just saying, but put that in a song. So sounds like fun. I'm sitting there getting prepared, and I'm thinking, well, I have to come up with a name of somebody in order to practice, in order to write these songs. So I come up with, Abraham Lincoln, and I come up with Barack Obama, and I come up with, somebody else. And then there is a name that keeps coming into my mind all the time, and that name is Brad Pitt. I'm thinking, all right, sure, whatever, we'll do a Brad Pitt song. So I do a Brad Pitt song, and something within me says, it will be Brad Pitt. And I'm intuitive, so there is a part of me that believes in that. The other part of me is trying to make up other songs to be more prepared. So we walk on stage, we introduce ourselves, we start playing the first game, they explain how it goes, and they said, we'll give you the name of the celebrity, then you have to make up the song on the spot. The name of the celebrity was Brad Pitt. So there I am trying not to laugh, or I'm laughing on the inside and trying not to show it on the outside because I knew it. So does me being the intuitive means that I'm no longer the improviser because I knew what was coming before? Right. And as I'm trying, it's this feeling. So the universe in that most uncomfortable point where I was putting myself on stage doing something that I am not good at based on my belief at that time. And here the universe is supporting me by giving me that information. So,
Well, it's interesting because, I'm in the middle of a 9-week tour of, a 5-week tour of 9 cities. And I'm working at a lot of large universities that have big theater programs. And you work with people and really, singing and performing on stage is, I call it, you don't run the system. You have to hook into the system. There is a way things work. And acting is speaking to someone in a situation. You do that all day long. Singing is saying words on air, like breathing. People start taking these big breaths. Every time we talk, all we do is relax and air goes in because air is pressing on us. From 5 miles of atmosphere. And so all these things, the object is, like I said to one of my students, I said, okay, I would like you to accelerate your heart rate by 20 beats, and I want you to secrete some adrenaline, and I want you to move blood and air, blood to your lungs. And they looked at me like I was insane. Mm-hmm. And I said, want to see me do it? And they said, yes. And I walked across the room. And walking across the room does hook into the system that makes adrenaline secrete, that brings air into your lungs, that sends blood to you, and that increases your heart rate. So when we do these things, what was happening, I think, was you were hooking into the universe where you don't know how to do this, but the universe does. And frankly, that's what improvisation is. Mm-hmm. That's what songwriting is. I do not write songs. I do not know how to write a song. First of all, you can't write a song because every song is already written. All those notes and all those words and all those combinations exist for all eternity in what I call the great unmanifest, that I'm just going into the attic and rummaging around. I know my technique as a songwriter is I know how to open myself up to the songwriting forces of the universe so that the universe is most likely to hand me a song. And that's true of everything. One of my favorite things to say is when people say to me, I finally decided to give up control. And I said, you had it? you had control? You know, tell me about that. And so I think that what you're talking about is you say, I will do something. And then what you're really doing is opening up to the forces of the universe. But depending on what our childhood was, how dependable support was and stuff like that, we will feel different levels of anxiety in opening up to the universe. They are just sensations. They don't in any way decrease the possibilities in the universe. Just because you think something isn't there does not mean it's not there. You know, if you close your eyes, everything in the room is still in the room. You're just not looking at it. And so we start to, like I write, I am on the Today Show once a month. I do a segment called Everyone Has a Story where people send in their stories, and Kathy Lee Gifford and I pick one out and we write a song about the story. We bring the people in and we bring on a Broadway star, a current Broadway star, and I play the song and they sing it to them. Mm-hmm. And every month, we look at the story, I get the assignment, and I think, I can't write this. And then I sit down and I write it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to not have that thought. That's just a thought that crosses my mind, and I have an uncomfortable sensation. But the reason I can write the song is because I can allow that uncomfortable sensation and allow that uncomfortable thought to just be there. And I'm aware that this song will write itself. With that we don't want to push those things away. We don't want to get over them. That's like saying to a child, I want to get over you. You don't want to get over them. You want to have them, see them, be with them. They're part of healing ourselves. You cannot heal your history if you cannot feel your history. And that's an interesting that you might have been so scared that you opened to the forces of the universe. And they are as dependable as the sun coming up.
Absolutely. On that note, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to keep on talking about the thought exchange, this missing piece, and the secret behind the secret with David Friedman. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg, founder of School of Human Potential. To help you determine if it is the right thing for you, I'd like to ask you a few simple questions. Do you consider yourself a hardworking, educated, well-informed individual? If so, do you ever find yourself in a situation that you wish you were better prepared for, such as holding your own in a conversation at an art museum or a concert hall? Managing stress? Parenting? Physical confrontation? Or in bed? Truth is, being a well-rounded individual who's prepared for life's many challenges is difficult in our day and age. We are much too busy working, raising families, and trying to carve out a few moments of peace, let alone worry about becoming self-actualized. We get it. The reason for starting the School of Human Potential was to help people like you become well-rounded and self-actualized without taking a lot of time or money. We found and filmed world-renowned experts and put their knowledge into easily accessible online courses spanning various topics of mind, body, and spirit. You can go at your own pace and access them on any device. By taking the courses, here are some of the benefits you can expect. You will broaden your horizons and deepen your understanding of the world and yourself. You will hold your own in a cultural conversation. You'll be able to protect yourself and your loved ones in a life-threatening situation. You'll find peace and meaning in your life. You'll become a better spouse, partner, and lover. You'll be fit, healthy, and financially secure. But if that's not enough, know that the majority of the courses at School of Human Potential are exclusive. You simply won't find them anywhere else. And here's the most amazing part. Outside of the School of Human Potential, you would expect to pay thousands of dollars for this information and spend countless hours learning it. However, when you enroll with us, you will pay less than $100 per course, and each one takes up to 8 hours. To start, go to www.schoolhp.com. Our hope is that you allow us to take you on a journey leading to a new and improved you. Here's to you reaching your full potential. And welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio. We're having a conversation with David Friedman about how life works and the missing piece and how to improve my singing voice, which I'm actually very, very much interested in doing. So we'll pin on that for just a few more minutes and then we'll come to a different topic. This is a live show, so if anybody wants to call in and ask questions of myself or David, please do so. The phone number to call is 888-429-5471. Okay, David, coming back to our discussion. So we know that the body is a miraculous instrument. We know that it can accomplish many things, including healing. We know that mind has control over the body, and if that connection is working properly, then mind and body can accomplish anything. I know those thoughts, and I've used those tools all the time. I've just never applied them to my singing. So can my musical instrument, my voice box, can that improve if I remove the programming of myself not having the greatest voice?
But we want to understand that the body is a mirror of our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
The body, the voice, when I do singing class with people, I know what they're thinking by what they're singing. Your voice is only doing what you're telling it to. The way to sing beautifully is already in your voice. There is a place where those high notes exist. There is a placement. There is a position. But the voice has to be asked for it, because the voice will give you whatever you want. So you are thinking, I don't have a good voice, and my voice box doesn't work right. You know, it's like Unity was founded by Myrtle Fillmore, who was given a death sentence. And then she began to apologize to her body for thinking of it as sick. And her body, she lived 47 years in perfect health. so what's happening, this is an interesting thought, because people then say, okay, I got to get rid of my negative thoughts. Well, forget that. They're there. But the point is, you see, it'll take me a little while to explain this, but I will do it because I think it's valuable. If you really look at who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You have sensations and you have thoughts. But the question is, who is experiencing those sensations and who is experiencing those thoughts? There is an invisible observer that you actually are. You are actually, as a human being, located nowhere. You are a consciousness, an invisible consciousness, in experiencing invisible thoughts and invisible sensations. And that is all you are. We don't live in the physical universe. I could not prove that I'm speaking to you right now. I can prove that I'm experiencing speaking to you, but if I were dreaming, I would be experiencing that too. So all we are is experience. So you take on, you have a thought, and you will experience your voice based on your thoughts. Now, there are reasons, as you told me during the break, you know, you were told you don't sing well, you open your mouth and people say you're not a good singer, and you're trying to sing better, but you're trying to sing better over the thought that you don't sing well. So that would be like me saying, raise your arm while holding your arm down. So the truth is that in who you are, in what I call the great unmanifested, the invisible, unlimited world of possibility, where everything always exists. In the physical world, things are temporarily visible. Those things are always in the world of possibility. All the money's there, all the health is there, everything is there.
Right.
So in that world, permanently, there is a way for you to sing wonderfully. When you connect with that way, because of things that have happened before, you get uncomfortable sensations. and you interpret those sensations as meaning that you can't sing or that your voice doesn't know how to sing or doesn't know what it's doing. And so then you are essentially saying to your voice, of all the possibilities, I'm telling you not to sing well. And so your voice will, if you say to your voice, that note's too high, your voice will say, okay, I can make that note not too high. I'll hold my breath and I'll place it in the wrong place and I'll do all sorts of things. So one of the things, the fact that your voice can do anything is a permanent fact. It's what I call a vision. If you go rummaging around in the great unmanifested, in the unlimited possibilities, you can just, can you imagine yourself being a fabulous singer?
Absolutely.
All right. You're imagining that. Now notice that you, it might take you getting on a stage and imagining that, but notice when you imagine that, where do you feel uncomfortable in your body?
Well, actually, quite funny. I feel uncomfortable in my body between where people consider the chest voice and the head voice. So I feel uncomfortable right in that area.
In that area, that's right. So kind of between your throat and your upper chest. And right. So the minute you think, I'm a great singer, you feel that discomfort. Now, that discomfort triggers what I call protective thoughts. Thoughts that will, if the thought, I'm a great singer, creates that discomfort. Now we're getting into what the thought exchange is. If the thought, I'm a great singer, creates that discomfort in your chest, you will try, you cannot change the sensation, so you will try to get away from that sensation by taking on a thought that doesn't produce it. So notice, as you think I'm a great singer and continue to hold that thought and feel that discomfort in your chest, what thoughts come up about why you're not a great singer?
The thoughts come up of every time that I would take a lesson and I would try to go from my chest voice to the head voice, it wouldn't work, or I would have, you know, notes that I would be missing. So all of that experience comes back.
Right. So the fact is that your body knows how to sing, and when you take on that thought, because of experiences you've had, you feel discomfort between your head and your chest, and you take on the thought, I can't do it, which is a thought. Can you see that the thought, I can't do it, in no way limits the fact that unlimited possibilities still exist?
Absolutely.
So what comes with the thought, I'm a great singer, is that physical discomfort and the thought, I can't do it. Should you actually hold on to that vision and sing beautifully, you will feel physical discomfort and you will have the thought, I can't do it. That comes with it, and we've been trying to get rid of that and be positive and feel better and be stronger. That thought keeps arising. You know, a few months ago, I was given a Lifetime Achievement Award, and Lucy Arnaz was presenting it to me. And so, and Lucy Arnaz works with me on Thought Exchange. So we were backstage pacing the floor nervously because she has to go out and expound on my virtues for 5 minutes, and then I have to go out and accept the award and sing and stuff like that. So she's pacing the floor, and she stops, and she says, all right, Thought Exchange. She says, what are my sensations? And she says, my throat is tight, my stomach is churning, and my hands are shaking. And right as she said that, the announcer said, ladies and gentlemen, won't you welcome the one, the only, Miss Lucy Arnaz? And she looked at me, and she pointed to her throat and her stomach and her hands, and she said, I can go out there with that. And she walked out. That shaking, all that stuff, the thought is, I am the one and only Lucy Arnaz, and the one and only Lucy Arnaz has a tight throat, a churning stomach, and shaking hands. And so I would say that when you hold the vision that you're a great singer, you've been feeling uncomfortable and you've been gripping in some ways that have been demonstrating your effort to get away from that discomfort. And the only way to get away from that discomfort is to think you're not a great singer. So you are actually, rather than sabotaging yourself, you are protecting yourself from a meaningless discomfort that comes with being a great singer, in order to not feel that discomfort. Want to be a great singer? Be uncomfortable.
Well, excellent. I can certainly do that, and we'll see how fast I get up on a stage and sing again. Too bad we just came back from vacation where I had that option.
I can't wait for you to try it.
Certainly will. I'll try it as soon as we're done with the show. I'm going to go downstairs and sing in front of my family. Let's see what they say.
Terrific. And call me back and let me know what happens.
I certainly will. Thank you. That's a very interesting thought. I will definitely try that. And obviously, we're talking about my voice, but it applies to everything in life. Yeah. And that's the missing piece that you're talking about. Now, going back to everything in life already exists, that possibility, and one of the other reasons why I was so intrigued to speak to you, is a number of weeks ago, I read many spiritual books, and I have abilities on my own, and I've gone to many classes, and I've subscribed to many philosophies, and all of that in the head, sometimes they intersect. So in starting a business, in starting our School of Human Potential, we went to a wonderful astrologer who gave us a particular time and date for when we should open it. Then I went to my society of, I'm not going to name them, so the numerological or such society, mm-hmm. which gave me a completely different answer and were kind enough to point out that on that particular date, the business will suck. It's not going to be successful, and what are you doing since you already know the principles? And those two things really shook me up and went into the self-analysis mode. What came out of that, and I wrote this on two blog entries, was that everything in the world exists, and we and the numerologist and the astrologer and everybody else are only seeing that aspect that will give them the truth in their own mind. So they will see those examples in which they are correct, the numerologist will see the same, and that gives me the freedom to create my own expression without worrying about them, because what I choose is what's going to happen. So, sorry?
Yes. Well, that's very interesting. You see, as I said before, mm-hmm. we are an invisible consciousness noticing thoughts and sensations, and that's all that's happening. So the only purpose, nobody is predicting the future. Nobody is telling you. This is the other huge misconception in new thought. We are not making things happen with our thoughts. We are seeing our thoughts in everything that happens.
Yes.
This is not about a particular manifestation. I know people who live in mansions. Well, I'll tell you a story. This illustrates it beautifully. I was at a dinner party, and there was a woman who was going through a really messy divorce, and she was really hating her husband. And she said, that lout, he has taken everything. I am destitute. He took everything. The only thing he's left me is the apartment. I have to sell it to survive. I'm destitute. I don't know what I'm going to do. And someone at the table said, how much are you asking for the apartment? And she said, oh, $7,775,000. Mm-hmm. So this woman is down, the poor thing is down to her last $7 million. But the woman is the poor thing because she experiences $7 million as destitution. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the achievement is. It doesn't matter whether the business succeeds or fails. It does anything that is ever happening. We are only seeing our thoughts. You know, one of my favorite statistics, if you toss a coin 5,000 times and it turns up tails 5,000 times in a row, what are the odds that on the next toss it will turn up heads? What do
the
you think that is?
50-50.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But if you tossed a coin 5,000 times and it turns up tails, you would be saying, well, I'm a tail tosser. I never toss heads. I can't toss heads. It's impossible. Even though nothing has changed.
Yeah.
And so the point is, when you're going, even the fact that you're going to these people, not that, it's not a good idea, not that it's not interesting, mm-hmm. all you're going to see from them is your own doubt or your own belief. When they tell you something, there are some people who hear that and go, well, the hell with them, I'm going to show them. And some people go, oh, my God, I can't even move because they said not to move. There is no, the stars are definitely causing this or that or the other. There is only We are looking at all those things, and we are experiencing our thoughts. And the important thing is to know our thoughts, to have them, to experience our pain and our thoughts while knowing that everything exists, every possibility exists. So it may be that as you make your business successful, you will feel very uncomfortable and very frightened that something's going to go wrong. That will come with the business. If your business is unsuccessful, that does not mean in any way that it just means that you're seeing your own thoughts for whatever reason you need to see them. It doesn't mean that success can't happen. It doesn't mean anything. And so we get focused on an outcome when what we really need to be focusing on is our interior experience. You know, if you lose all your money, all that is a sensation and a thought. It doesn't mean that money's not available. It doesn't mean that the next minute you couldn't get it. And this was a realization I had recently. If you made $100 million, it doesn't mean that the next minute you're not going to get divorced or get sick or drop dead. Nothing
right.
protects us in any way, or nothing in any way talks about the next moment. There's only this moment and our experience in it. And when we can be with the experience, which means being with the sensations and being with the thoughts that come up at this moment, then we are instantly reconnected to the fact that everything is possible at any time, no matter what has happened, no matter what we think. And that is what we're really working on. We're not working on outcome or results, because then we're fighting with the mirror. It's like standing in front of a mirror and saying, I am not going to move until you move. You can't.
Right.
All these things, the psychic or the astrologer or the numerologist, all they're doing is reflecting back to you your thoughts. You know, I do a lot of corporate work, and when you're working with very high-level executives and you go in to coach them, the first mm-hmm. thing they do is a 360 where they ask all the people around them what they think of them. You mm-hmm. know, they get, is he a good leader? Is he this and that? And often it's very, you know, upsetting to present the information that was received. And I always preface it by saying, what you are about to hear is what you think of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If people are reflecting to you, you're not a good leader, it's not because you're not a good leader. It's where do you think you're not a good leader? That's what people are seeing. So the world is always helping you, whether your business is succeeding or failing, by showing you what you're thinking and where you are limiting your access to the infinite world of possibilities because you are afraid to experience the sensations that go with that infinite world of possibilities. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, and then that raises the next series of questions. So for all the people who looked at The Secret and tried to follow it or looking at the Law of Attraction movement, where do they go from there? If they are experiencing
well,
their sensations.
They go to the Thought Exchange. What happened with The Secret is everybody got very excited because, you see, we keep the things that really sell, mm-hmm. like people dieting. Dieting, if you want to diet, you ate to cover up sensations. As you lose weight, you're going to feel uncomfortable. People who keep trying to find a diet, which is like, oh, it's so fabulous, and I love it, and I feel good, you are not going to lose weight and keep it off because you're going to hit uncomfortable sensations. Otherwise, you wouldn't have put on the weight. So what happened was everyone got all excited. First of all, the law of attraction, I call it the law of noticing. There's nothing to attract because everything's going on and existing inside of yourself. Where are you attracting it from? It's sitting right here. It's the law of noticing the possibility, and when you notice it, you experience it. You're not attracting something. That implies that there's somewhere else. The secret
right.
was, oh, this is fabulous. I mean, listen, there's great information about these things. I'm not saying they're not good. There's great information. But the secret, where people fall down, is they say, that's great. I'm going to find a way to just think it, and I'm going to feel great. And they keep running into their sensations. You can use all these things beautifully if you understand, if you allow yourself to experience how you actually feel when you use them, and you allow yourself to think whatever thoughts you're thinking when you use them. And so where people go, if you read my book, The Thought Exchange, there's a whole section on how thought exchange can be used with each of these disciplines. They're all great. They all have tremendous things to offer. It's just people have trouble using them because they're using them to try to get away from their experience, and you can't, because the toning down of that experience, you know, if I decide that I do not want to experience the uncomfortable sensations that I get when I go on a stage, the only way to do that is to not go on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're there. They're part of it. I remember hearing a 15-year-old R&B singer being interviewed, and I think it was Katie Couric or someone like that said, "You performed for 35,000 people yesterday. What was that like?" She said, "It was terrifying. I loved it." And so I would say that all the people who are using those things, there's some thought that there's something missing. There's some thought that you are supposed to be not as you are. There's some thought that there's something that has to be gotten rid of in you. You know, it's interesting. I often use this example. Let's say that you have a married couple and the husband cheated on the wife and they decide to stay together. And it's 4 years later and they're doing very well. And the wife suddenly turns to the husband and says, "I'm so afraid you're going to cheat on me again." If the husband says, "Honey, it's been 4 years already. When are you going to get over this?" The answer is never.
Mm.
What the husband can say is, "Of course you're afraid I'm going to cheat on you. I cheated on you. I see that you're afraid. I'm not cheating on you right now, but I see you're afraid. Of course you are." 40 years from now, the wife turns to the husband and says, "I'm so afraid you're going to cheat on me." If he says, "When are you going to get over it?" Never. The answer is, "Of course you're afraid. You had the experience that I cheated on you. I'm with you." All we need to do, all a child needs, a child does not need to be told something's not wrong, because it is. A child doesn't need to be told that didn't happen, because it did. A child needs somebody, a competent adult, to feel what it felt and to say, "I see, I know, I'm with you." We spend our whole life trying to find that by getting enough money, by getting the right husband or wife or lover, by getting the right career. It doesn't do anything. The child needs you to experience. You are the only one who can experience what the child experienced. And so all of these people, it's almost like you're saying to your inner child, "I want to be at peace, so you're going to have to shut up and get out of here and go away." Child's going to scream. My definition of peace and love and forgiveness are all the same. Peace is simply being with what is as it is. And since nothing is happening anywhere but inside yourself, it's being with how you are when something is the way it is. So when people say, "I feel so guilty," I say, "Then feel guilty. I feel so angry. Feel angry." Not release it, get rid of it, have it. "I think I did something wrong." Notice that you think you did something wrong. None of these things mean anything. It's just that we are, in spirituality, we're constantly finding a way to get away from where we are, to not be how we are, to get rid of the way we feel, to change our circumstances, when the peace is to be found right here. And so what I say is that the secret to this, the key deep inside this, is when in doubt, when you're confused, when you're upset, when you don't know what to do, stop and experience your sensations. Experience that tightness in your throat. Experience that churning in your stomach. Experience that buzzing in your head. Experience it. Just sit with it and be with it as it is. Don't try and calm it down. Don't try and relax it. Don't try and change it. You are saying, "I see you exactly as you are." And frankly, this may be a controversial statement, but that is why we make up God. We make up someone who sees us exactly as we are. God is us. We have the ability to see us exactly as we are. if we're willing to be with sensation. So when in doubt, when you're trying to think positive and you can't do it, go to your sensations and notice what you're feeling and go to your thoughts and just notice, oh, I'm thinking I can't sing. I'm thinking I can't have this. I'm thinking my business is going to fail. And you will immediately be brought back to the possibilities exist infinitely and always. That, to me, is the way to get back to that, which is what we really want to know. There's nothing missing in you, nothing wrong. Everything is to be experienced.
Perfect. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with David Friedman. Please stay with us on School of Human Potential Radio.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential.
Hi, it's Sam Green.
And welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio. We're talking with David Friedman about the missing piece, the secret behind the secret, and how life works in general, in addition to improving my singing voice and yours. David, I wanted to follow up on one point. So, as people are experiencing these particular sensations and they really tune into themselves and I understand it, what is the next step? Do they understand that the world is unlimited possibilities and then they choose whatever possibility they wish to experience? Or what?
This is what happens. Mm-hmm. When you experience sensations, if you have to get away from them, the only way you can get away from them is to limit your thoughts, because the thoughts of what you want are causing the sensations. Mm-hmm. The thought, I can have this, is causing the discomfort. When you can have the sensation, you will not jump to the protective thought. You will not jump to the thought. You know, when you're running the marathon at mile 20, if you can tolerate your aching legs and your tiredness, you won't jump to, I can't run the marathon. So what happens is, when you can experience the sensations, you automatically, it's almost like thoughts choose you. The things that you want to do are available to you. They just come up, you feel the sensations, and you do them. So automatically, I just say try this. Automatically, when you just stop and experience your sensations, whenever you're uncomfortable, whenever you don't know what to do next, you will, it's like magic. The phone will ring. You will suddenly come up with a thought. You'll come up with an idea that you didn't have before. It's just there. You don't even have to consciously, you're just connected. You are a whole person. And because you're not cutting off thoughts, they're just there. And you just do them. And then you feel the sensation. You pick up the phone and you shake and you make the call and you get rejected and you feel the sensation. So you pick up the phone again and you call. It's just, you get done. There's nothing more to do. You are just whole when you're experiencing your sensations and noticing the thoughts you have about them. Not acting, not gripping on them, just noticing them. Everything works.
Makes sense. And that leads me into the last thought of how you described writing. You're looking at the assignment and saying, I can't write this, and then you proceed to write. So you are with
there.
That.
Yeah, got to be there.
Are. Yep.
So I hold that it's there and notice that when I think it's there, I have the thought that I can't do it. Fine, I still know it's there. So I shake and I write. And, you know, I'd really recommend, I mean, there are a lot of resources. You know, if people go to thethoughtexchange.com, they can find my book, The Thought Exchange. And my music is also very intrinsic to all of this. And you know, I would, you know, recommend take a read of that book and look at the information we have there and try it. It is counterintuitive. Our whole life, you know, look at commercials. Everything is about you have a sensation, get rid of it, take a pill. Try, like skidding in a car. You want to put your foot on the brake and steer away from it. What you got to do is take your foot off the brake and steer into it. Steer into those sensations. Feel them. Be with them. It will change your life in ways you cannot imagine. It's amazing how it is a key to hooking into constant unlimitedness. Unlimitedness comes with sensations.
Perfect. Well, David, it's been a sincere pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for teaching me how to sing. I can't wait to go downstairs and try it.
Well, I want a report. I want you, you know, write to me and tell me how it's going because I'm going to walk you through this. I'm not going to say you're going to be a great singer. You are a great singer. You just haven't asked your body for it yet.
I certainly will do the asking, and I will call you back or write you back and report. Thank you so much for coming on, David. Thank you. For everybody else, we have a few more minutes. And in parting thoughts, I love a lot of the things that David was describing. And in terms of writing specifically, just to share my personal experience of when you have that thought. And I've been writing poetry since I was 7 years old, and I write lyrics as well. And what I know is that somehow, without thinking about it, without trying to do anything specific, somehow I feel that I should write. I feel that I should write, or I have to write. For instance, I'm going to my uncle's 80th birthday party this weekend. I know I have to write something because that is what is expected of me, and I'm supposed to write a beautiful poem and present it there, and I will. And I get into that uncomfortable sensation of, oh, come on, I don't know what to write about. And then I basically, in my case, what I think what's happening is I open up, I surrender, and I ask my guides in this case, or I jokingly refer to them as the, you know, angels of poetry. And I say, okay, let's see. And that flow of unlimited possibilities that David was talking about, it, that's when it starts. And I start typing something, that a thought comes in, that I start doing that. Or a whole sentence is going to come into mind. And then I start writing. That is how it works for me. And I see exactly what David was referring to as it concerns my writing. I think everything that David was referring to, I agree with. I've just never applied it to my singing, which is why it is so funny to me. Because I understand these principles, I apply them in other aspects, why not singing? Maybe it is because of what happened when I was a child, because everybody was saying, hey, you're not a great singer, please stop. And then everybody got that, you know, to be a little funny joke every time Ellen starts singing, and I would sing anyway. So I will work on that, and I will report. I will be recording my first CD by the end of the month, and I will post it on our site. No, that was a joke, but I will start singing. Thank you very much for joining us. We will speak to you next week on School of Human Potential Radio.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.